I'll tell you what, brother. If you can't preach after all that singing, there's something wrong with you. I appreciate the church. I appreciate your efforts to come and be here tonight. I believe the message tonight, of all the messages that I preach, I believe the message tonight is probably going to impact you. Impacted me the most, I'll be honest with you. And I hope that I can do justice to the Word of God. Open your Bibles in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. That's 490 times. What God was saying is, don't keep a score on it. And Sunday night we talked about, can God trust us with His suffering? Last night we spoke about, can God trust us with His love? Once we understand God's suffering and who we are in the sight of God and how insignificant we really are in the scheme of things, that Almighty God would come and die for us and suffer the awful, dreadful death of the cross. And then, can God trust us with His love as we spend the time talking about how much He loved us? And He require us, as I have loved you, so you love one another. And I realize that I can't do that. I'm going to try my best. But the love of God just passes all understanding in my mind. I just can't comprehend how a holy and righteous God would even think about loving this maggot. But He did. And now He's asking me and telling me, as I have loved you, Raul, so you love your other, the other brethren, the other people out there. I don't know how to do it, so I need Almighty God to help me with that. Can God trust me with His love? And tonight I want to talk to you about, can God trust us with His forgiveness? See, beloved, forgiveness is an act of the will. We choose to forgive. There is no formula to it. We decide, I am going to forgive. It is not a fuzzy feeling. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We decide to forgive. See, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the chains of hatred. It is a full pardon, beloved. It is a fresh start. It's a new beginning. It is the canceling of a debt. It is a lifting of a heavy burden. It is a second chance. It is a do-over. It is a supernatural power of God that unlocks the prison of resentment laden souls so that they can be free again. The
The Bible says, you that are spiritual, restore your brother in the spirit of meekness. Considering yourself, yes, you, yet, so that you don't get tempted likewise. Sometimes we think being spiritual is to be this spiritual giant, is you just don't, you know, rub shoulders with sinners. The first day I came here, I was sitting out there in the pastor's study and all the men around there. What do you call that? The men's Sanhedrin. And one of the brothers said, "You're friends with this guy talking about the pastor? Well, sure, you're sure going low, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I got friends in low places." Jesus had friends in very low places. He came to Zacchaeus and said, "Tonight I'm coming to your house." And the Pharisees said, "Does this man know what this man is? If he truly was a prophet from God, he knew that this man is a sinner." See, Jesus had a reputation. He was called a friend of sinners and drunks. What a reputation. But I'm so glad that he loves sinners because I qualified. How shall I forgive my brother? Let us pray. Father, we come to you tonight through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we don't deserve to be here. We're unworthy. But because of your grace, your love and your compassion, you chose to forgive us. And what a wonderful gift that is. To be forgiven. Sweet Jesus, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to proclaim your word tonight, lift you up, give you all the praise and the glory. For in your name we pray. Amen. Forgiveness demands change, beloved. Do you remember the story of the woman that was caught in adultery? Remember that? The Pharisees said, "Here we got this woman. She was caught in the very act. And according to the law, she's supposed to be stoned to death." My question was, where's the rascal there? Where's the man? If she was caught in the very act, that man was there, right? It takes two to tango, right? Where's the man? If we're going to apply the law, beloved, we can't be prejudiced about it. It applies to every one of us. God does not discriminate on color, education, social status, whatever it may be. We are all the same in the eyes of God. We're all sinners. And they brought this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an amazing, amazing question he asked. Any one of you that has no sin, you throw the first stone. I'm going to tell you today, this man right here is a sinner. I'm no good. The best that I can do stinks in the nostrils of a righteous God. Paul said, of all sinners, I am the chiefest. I think I'm right next to him. But by the grace of God. And no one threw that stone. One by one, they dropped the stones and they walked away. And the Lord looked at that woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, Lord, they all left. Well, neither do I condemn you. But see, forgiveness demands change. And Jesus said, go and sin no more. Should we sin that grace abound? God forbid. Forgiveness demands change. If you are a child of God, you have been changed. God makes all things new. It has to be. How can we show that we're a new creature if we don't change? If the backbiting continues and the hate continues and all the things of this world continues in our life, there has to be change. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus Christ would be an accomplice to evil and sin. And He's not. He was merciful to forgive. But He demanded change. Secondly, forgiveness is not earned. It's given. What did you do to deserve to be forgiven, beloved? What did you do? I couldn't do nothing. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I couldn't do it. And I know you couldn't do it. Forgiveness is not earned, it's given. That's why forgiveness is an act of the will. And we choose to forgive. God so loved the world that He gave. His will was done. In His sovereign will, He chose to forgive you and me. Colossians 1:14, the Bible says, we are forgiven because of His blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me tell you, forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing to be forgiven. Man, this weight of debt that is taken away from our shoulders, the weight of sin that so easily beset us, when it's forgiven, what a wonderful gift it is. It really is. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stains. It is a wonderful thing. You write this down in your Bibles somewhere. Isaiah chapter 43. Open your Bibles there. Let's read this together. This is a wonderful verse to remember because it's a wonderful truth in it. Isaiah 43 in verse 25. The Lord says this, I, even I am He that blotted out your transgressions for mine own sake. He didn't do it for us. And will not remember your sins. Amen. Let me share something with you. A couple of things in this verse. In fact, there's three. Let's talk about all three of them. We have a little time. The Bible says, I am the Lord, even I have blotted out your transgressions. We don't understand that. because we live in a modern technology where we sit in front of a computer and just write things and we never get to erase anything with an eraser. You know, we never get to have to do over and pull the page and start all over again. But you remember the old typewriters? You right? You made a mistake. You can't just push delete. It was made, buddy, and it's there, right? And try to erase that. You couldn't. Especially if you use some type of paper made out of vellum. Because that really soaked the ink right in there. Some of you remember, many, many years ago, I took calligraphy when I was in elementary school. Our children don't even know how to write anymore. And so when we took calligraphy, we had this double line, paper where for the small letters, you know, the lowercase and the uppercase, you had the bigger one and the lower. You know, remember that? That's kind of neat. I still remember. And so we used the little glass and we used the ink pen. Remember the little feather? We called that the plume. Remember? From the word pluma, that is feather in the Latin. So we used the plume to write. Then we did some wonderful, learned to do some wonderful writings. And I remember the teacher taking my hand, and you gotta go flow with the flow. You know, you do neat. Be careful when you stop that you don't stay too long because you make this big old blob soak in the paper. So they taught you all of that little thing. Teachers used to be teachers back then. But when you made a mistake, you could not erase the ink. So when something had to be completely erased, the judge would take the bottle of ink and pour it on the paper. And it completely soaked through the paper and you couldn't read it anymore. The word to blot means that. It doesn't mean to erase. It means to completely destroy it. Nobody could read it anymore. It was a big blob right there. Even I am the Lord who blotted out your transgression. Amen. Can't read it no more. It's no longer legible. You cannot find it in the archives. I can't tell you how many times people say, I forgive you, but they forgive you until you do something and then they remind it all over again. That is not true forgiveness. That is not true forgiveness, beloved. We don't hold the chip until you have to use it again. That is torture. It's not forgiveness. My Savior is not throwing my sin in front of my face every single day. Number two, for mine own sake. See, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And listen, He washed them away in the blood of the Lamb to be remembered no more. If He would remember our sins, then He lied. He did it for His sake. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He did it for His sake because God is not going to be found a liar. Number three, will not remember your sins. Thank you, Jesus. God knows I had many. Some ugly ones, brother. He does not forgive temporarily. He forgives forever. God cannot and will not remember the sins that have been washed in His blood. Amen. The Bible says, under sin and iniquities will I remember no more. I'm going to walk on streets of gold one day and say, Lord, you know I was a real bad sinner. And He's going to say, what are you talking about? I don't remember such thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They are thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. He placed a sign in front of it that says, no fishing allowed. Praise the Lord for that. The Bible says, before you come to the altar to offer your sacrifice and you remember that you've done something to offend your brother, you leave your offering on the altar and you go make it right with your brother.
Amen.
And then come back.
Yeah.
Lord willing, if I'm still alive this August 19th, and my wife is still alive, we're going to be married 35 years. To my first wife. And let me share a little secret about forgiveness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, be in communion with your wife that your prayers may not be hindered.
Amen.
A lot of our homes are in trouble because mom and dad, husband and wife, are not in communion. There's bickering, there's fighting, there's unforgiven spirit there. And what God is saying, I'm going to hear both of you or none of you. You're either together in harmony and I listen to you, or I'm not listening to any one of you. Forgiveness, beloved, allows us to have access to the throne of glory. We've got to learn to forgive. You know, when the Lord saved you, you just don't become this fantastic forgiving person. It is an act of the will. We have to train ourselves to forgive. It's like when we train our children to say thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Do they do it all the time? When you told them one time, they did it all the time? No, you got to remind them. Remember? I remember. What do you say? Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. After a while, it becomes normal. We gotta start somewhere forgiving, beloved. And then it becomes part of our nature. We gotta learn to forgive immediately. Don't let it linger. An unforgiving spirit will make of you an ugly old person. That resentment will eat you up like cancer, the Bible says. He uses the word canker. You ever had a canker sore? Terrible. An unforgiving spirit will eat you from the inside out. You ever go to a nursing home and watch the faces of those old folks? You look at it. You'll be there one of these days. Go look at them. I'm on my way there. You know, I'm nearing 60 now, brother. Pray for me. Come and visit me in the nursing home, will you? And you can see the ones that lived a happy life. That were friendly, amicable. You can see it because the smile is still there. But you see the ones that live a resentful, hateful, unforgiving spirit. You can see it in the face. You can see it in their eyes. Do yourself a favor. Forgive.
Amen.
Get it over with.
Amen.
We cannot afford a religious facade. God will not accept phony tears or hypocritical smiles over an unforgiving spirit. He won't. Remember what we talked about last night? If I have not God, I am nothing. Everything that I do will amount to nothing because I have an unforgiving spirit. Remember that men see our outward appearance, but God sees the heart. We just lie out to ourselves. There's a lot of lies. You know, I learned a long time ago that if you want to be a good liar, you got to have an amazing memory. You got to have a photographic memory. To remember lie number one, lie number two, every lie that you cover the other lie with, there's only one truth. There's thousands of lies. I don't have a very good memory anymore, so I choose to tell the truth. It's so much easier. On me, on the people that hear it. The Bible says tell the truth and lie not. And when we lie, we're just lying to ourselves because God knows us, folks. He knows what we are. Let me share one more thing with you. Nothing is ever settled until it's settled right. You got to do it. You're going to stand before Almighty God one day. Get taken care of it now. Preacher, but you have no idea what they've done to me. I was right. Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be forgiven?
Amen.
What do you mean, Bro Raul? But one day the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, teach us to pray. You know. In fact, there was a song that they sang tonight about teaching us to pray. He said, when you pray, you shall say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How do you want to be forgiven? Because in the measure that we forgive, we got to learn to forgive. You want to be forgiven 100%? Then you forgive 100%. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I want to be forgiven 100%.
Amen.
So I got to forgive 100%. You be the bigger person. Well, I'm waiting for them to ask forgiveness. No, you be the bigger person. My wife was hurt very deeply by someone who said things against her. I knew it was a lie. And she carried that for many years. One day I told her, honey, it ain't worth it. Let it go. But they never asked forgiveness. You forgive. You've been carrying this dead body with you for years. It's time to let it go. So we got together and prayed. And praise God, we let it go.
Amen.
It changed her life. Because see, he that doesn't forgive destroy the only bridge that he will need to pass on the future. You stick around long enough, you're going to need forgiveness. And if you don't forgive, you just tore down the very bridge that you got to cross one day. For Christ's sake, forgive. It's a wonderful gift. It really is. It really is. Man, it took me a long time to learn some of these lessons. I'm a slow learner. I was very intemperate in my youth, brother. I had a very short fuse. I used to pick a fight in a heartbeat. The Lord had to bring me through a lot of things. Let me share the difference between forgiveness and sympathy. Because see, people come out there and they want to ask for forgiveness and we just pat them on the back. Hey, it's okay. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. We just stole a wonderful gift. 20 years ago, my dad came from Peru to visit me. When I was a teenager, I did some things he never knew against my dad. And I was carrying that with me for years, brother. My dad never found out. He blamed it on somebody else. 20 years ago, he came. I was living in Northwest Ohio. And we left on our way to Illinois. We came right through Fort Wayne, Indiana, on our way down through 69, coming towards Indianapolis. And man, I was so convicted about my sin against my dad. I felt like the prodigal son. Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. So I pulled on the side of the road and I said, Dad, I got to tell you something. So I went and told my dad what I did. I was a grown man then. I already had 2 children. I was married, you know. Nobody knew what I did. And I went and I told my dad. My dad just sitting there looking at me. And my dad said, son, and I told my dad, I want you to forgive me. And he patted me on my leg and grabbed my hand and said, son, it's okay. It's all right. And I look at my dad and I say, Dad, I don't need your sympathy. I need your forgiveness. Sympathy is only a patch. It doesn't take care of the problem. It's a temporary fix. It just would have made me feel good for a minute. I needed to be forgiven. And I told my dad, Dad, please forgive me. I need to be forgiven. And my dad forgave me. And that burden went away, brother. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful gift to be forgiven. It really is. The Bible says in Matthew 6:14-15, for if we forgive, we will be forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says, as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Can God trust me with His forgiveness? How did God forgive you? I mean, He forgave me magnanimously, unbelievably. I cannot even comprehend how much He forgave me. I mean, I stunk in the nostrils of a righteous God. And He forgave me. He not only forgave me part of my sin, but all of my sin, to the very sliver of my sin. I can't even begin to comprehend the magnitude of His forgiveness. And God is asking me, as Christ has forgiven me, I need to forgive you. I don't know how to do that. God is going to have to help me with that. How can I forgive like God? And yet He's not asking me for my opinion. He's telling me what to do. Forgiveness. You know, we often say to err is human, but to forgive is divine. It truly is. There are 62 words in the New Testament used for forgiveness. 22 times mean the forgiveness of other people. Don't do it for their sake. Do it for your sake. God said, I have forgiven you for my sake. The one that forgives gets the better benefit. Forgive. Let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter 18. After Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, how often should I forgive my brother? Jesus goes to tell a parable. And I want us to see this parable before we go home. Verse 23, the Bible says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Wow. A life of slavery for his entire family. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I pay you all of it. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him the debt. But this same servant, oh man, we want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. Lord, please forgive me, but I don't want to forgive my brother. This same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Man, what a deja vu there, right? Same thing. But he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be forgiven? I forgave thee all that debt because you desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. I want to tell you something, an unforgiving spirit will eat you alive until you should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, listen to this verse, beloved. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, who is the heavenly Father? Jehovah God. Do also unto you. Who is you? Who is he talking to? The disciples. Peter is the one who asked. Church members were asking. This is what my heavenly Father is going to do to you, church member. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Christianity is a road, it's not a destination. It's a daily walk with Jesus, and we have to learn to forgive on a daily basis. Because if we don't, God is going to do something to us. You know what that means? For your sake, forgive. But see, that only tells half of the story. Because we're not living 2,000 years ago. So we don't use the talent or the pence. These are weights and monies that was used back then. So let me just share with you what all this means before we go home. Okay? Here's the lesson. Have a 45-minute introduction, and here's my 5-minute message. I'm known for my 5-minute messages. It just takes me a long time to get there. See, beloved, a pence is the equivalent of $32 as of 2010. One pence is the equivalent of $32, and that was the daily salary of a laborer on the field. Times 100 is $3,200. It was about 3 months of wages. Would it be doable to pay $3,200 a year? I think it would be. I think you could pay $3,200 a year. And he could have paid that debt to his fellow servant. If the fellow servant would have been merciful enough to accept that or even forgive him that debt, like he was forgiven. On the other hand, one talent of gold is worth $5,760,000. Times 10,000 is $57,600,000,000. $57,600,000,000. It would have taken this man 4,932 years to pay his debt. In other words, all the way from the creation of Adam until now. And the Lord said, I have forgiven you an unbelievable debt. You could have never paid that debt. I have forgiven you more than you could ever repay. And you couldn't even forgive your brother for 100 days. I've forgiven you for 5,000 years of that, and you couldn't forgive for 100 days.
Right. Amen.
As I have forgiven you, so you forgive. He forgave me an unbelievable debt I could never repay. I have to burn in hell forever. Who am I to think that I'm better than anybody else? My Savior died for my brother too.
Amen.
And out of gratitude for the love of my Savior, I gotta forgive my brother. I can show my Savior that His magnificent love that was shed upon me and forgave me, that I, true, like him, can forgive my brother. Can God trust us with His forgiveness? Can God trust us with His forgiveness? Because, see, beloved, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the chains of hatred. It is a full pardon. It is a fresh start. It is a new beginning. It is a canceling of a debt. It is a lifting of a heavy burden. It is a second chance to do over, to release the souls of burdened men so they can be freed again. Can God trust me with His forgiveness? I choose to forgive so that I can be forgiven. May God help us all. Brother.